Well, last night we had a very special event here in the parish. Most Catholics don't realize that this is not the only way that you can have Mass. This is called the Roman Rite or the Latin Rite. But there are many other liturgical rites, ways of celebrating Mass in our Catholic faith. One of those is the Syro-Malabar Rite, which is a very ancient liturgical rite. It dates back to the 3rd century. And the Syro-Malabar Rite is centered in Kerala, India. We have many Indian Catholics in our parish community, and they are so proud of their Catholic faith because it is an indigenous faith. It is not a Christianity that was brought to them from colonialism in Europe, but rather they are the original. They have an apostolic church founded by St. Thomas the Apostle. He's the one who brought faith in Christ to India. And so our Indian Catholics are very proud of that. So last night we had the Syro-Malabar Rite presided over by Father Tejo Joy, a name which fits him perfectly because he's full of joy. He came to us from Herndon, and we celebrated the Syro-Malabar Mass, which was totally different from what you experience in the Roman Rite. For example, us priests and deacons wore splendid vestments. They were very different, very ornate, different from what we have. And for the Liturgy of the Word, there was a separate altar that was placed right here. And Father Tejo proclaimed the gospel from here. There were 3 readings before that, not 2, that were proclaimed up there. Father Tejo proclaimed the gospel from down here, and he preached from here. And then, for the Liturgy of the Eucharist, the priest and deacon were up here with their back to the people. There's lots of beautiful singing in Malayalam, and so it was very, very different, different prayers and everything. So that's just by way of saying there's other ways of being Catholic than the Roman Rite that are in full communion with the Holy See. I also want to point out, this is another parenthetical note, that ordinarily today, if it's not the Feast of Christ the King, it is the Feast of Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro, who was a Mexican priest in Mexico in the 1920s. And there was fierce persecution of the Catholic Church in the 1920s in Mexico. Fierce. And Father Miguel Pro bravely continued his priestly ministry despite it until he was apprehended and sentenced to death before a firing squad. And as he was, just before he was shot to death, what did he cry out? Interestingly, it was on this day in 1927, this very day in 1927. He cried out, "Vivo Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King." And today is the Feast of Christ the King, so how about that? So so now maybe I'll give you a homily. So, what is one of the fundamental articles of our faith that we profess in the Creed? It is, Christ ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is Christ our King, who we honor today. That's who we honor. As St. Paul says in our second reading, Christ must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And when that happens, that will be the end of the present age of history and the beginning of the future age of eternity. Now, all of this was prophesied when Jesus ascended into heaven, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles. And while they were gazing into heaven as Jesus went, behold, 2 men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And so we also profess, as one of the fundamental articles of our faith in the Creed, that Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And Paul says in our second reading today that at Christ's coming, those who belong to Christ will be made to live. Now, who is he talking about here, those who belong to Christ? He is talking about those whose humanity has been transformed. You see, in this letter from which our second reading is taken, Paul's first to the Corinthians, he compares and contrasts Adam and Jesus. Adam represents the fallen human race separated from God through sin. Jesus represents a redeemed, transformed human race. Or, as Paul put it in other words in his letter to the Colossians, those who have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Christ who reigns there. And let's hear something else that Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, as was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. See, Paul is presenting to us here two ways of being human. All of us are men and women of dust. One way is that we can choose to remain like the man of dust, that is Adam, and choose sin and selfishness. Or all of us, men and women of dust, can become like the man of heaven. Now, in our first reading from the prophecy of Ezekiel, we see Jesus, our King, the man of heaven, presented as a shepherd. A king who is a shepherd, who is filled with compassion. He seeks out the stray, the lost, the sick, the injured. In other words, the hungry and thirsty, the stranger, the naked, and those in prison. And so, if we would be like the man of heaven, and belong to Christ, then our hearts also have to be filled with compassion for those for whom our King has compassion. We will want to bring them into an experience of the kingdom of Christ by our love and compassion. That is how we, who are men and women of dust, can become men and women of heaven. However, Jesus does the unpredictable, as he always does, because he's the Son of God, in his description today of the Last Judgment. Because there he says that he, our King, the man of heaven, identifies himself with the least of the men and women of dust. And so if we, men and women of dust, want to be men and women of heaven, we must love the man of heaven in the least of other men and women of dust. Does that hurt your head? So let us go forth today from this table as the advance guard of Christ, our compassionate shepherd king.